The countdown to the Super Bowl on Sunday is on. Face it, it's been on for weeks. And like every other year, there's been a storyline that's carried on through that dead week between the division championship games and the Super Bowl. Yet this year, it's been Deflategate. How did the New England Patriots footballs end up underdeflated? And who knew about it?
And who cares?
You know, I heard them still lots talking about care. It on TV this morning.
I know. And one of the things that I keep coming back to is I watched that game. I watched the New England Patriots beat the Indianapolis Colts. And they could have been playing with wiffle balls. And they still
it was pretty one-sided,
would
yeah.
have beat yeah. the Colts. And so whether the balls were deflated or not, I don't think had very little to do with the outcome of the game. But it all goes back to the fact that New England has been caught before in situations like this. You go back to Spygate, back, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago?
Right.
And so
stealing
this,
the signals, so all stealing that stuff. Signals.
So yeah. this just sort of plays into that narrative of them not playing by the rules. And it fits into, hey, we have got a story that we can run during dead week between the
divisional
championship
and the Super
Bowl.
Is that why? Because there's been nothing else to talk about, and that's why we're still talking about it?
I mean, I have to say, if you want to compare the kind of coverage that normally occurs in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super yeah. Bowl, it's really superficial kind of stuff for the most part. This is journalism. I mean, it is an interesting question as to whether or not they cheated.
For 2 weeks.
And I know, but I mean... Every time a new little, you think, well, this story's over. Then, okay. Oh, now there's got a guy who took the balls into the bathroom.
A person of interest. They were using that. I mean, when I heard that, I was going like, what? I mean, is there a crime?
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is it criminal? I mean, I know there is, because I'm
a crime against
limited.
Football, I guess.
I know that I'm a little limited in my sports knowledge, but I know like point shaving and stuff, not legal. That's a bad thing. But could it be illegal to deflate a football?
Well, I mean, it is against the NFL's rules to have them inflated below
NFL's
a certain
rules.
Level. And they do that. They did it really to begin with because kickers were mm-hmm. deflating the balls because especially when you're trying to get more accuracy in cold weather or whatever, the lower the pressure in the ball, the more surface contact there is with your foot in the ball, you could kick it for more accuracy. So when they were clamping down on the kickers doing that, they decided to clamp down on everybody. And it is a little suspicious when, you know, 11 of 12 of the balls from the Patriots are deflated and none of the balls from the Colts were deflated. So it wasn't a natural phenomenon. Somebody did it. And do you think that some poor ball boy or assistant or whatever did this all on his own, carried him into the bathroom or whatever without somebody like the coach or the quarterback saying this should happen?
I'm not saying that there was something shaky going on, something not quite right going on there, but the one good thing about this is that we have learned more about football and how footballs work in terms of air pressure and how you kick it, how you throw it, what it means for PSI in a ball as opposed to
pounds per square inch.
Yeah. We've learned all of that more than we probably ever wanted to know about the actual ball itself. And not so much about the game.
I hate to predict because a lot of new things keep rolling out every time I think this story is over. But I think we can safely predict that the NFL will take no action until after the season.
Yeah, well,
most likely. No matter what they know.
This science lesson brought to you by the NFL. Seriously, though, NBC is going to be making quite a day of it on Sunday. They're bringing out all of the stops, including adding Olympic skaters Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski to the commentator list. Helps round out the audience, I guess.
It's one of those things where I remember when Super Bowl Sunday, you got an hour pregame and then you had 2 hours. And now
I think it starts at 11.
I think it starts 11 the night
well,
before.
Started 2 weeks
I mean,
ago.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's sort of like they've taken the whole day. And I really do wonder how many people actually watch that because I literally do not turn my TV on Super Bowl Sunday until kickoff.
Okay.
Because it's just gotten too crazy.
NBC's going to do everything they can. In fact, even the commercials have a distinct NBC flavor to them this year.
There it is. At amfeedback.com. I mean, what is internet anyway? What do you write to it like mail?
There's Allison. Can you explain what internet is?
See, that's what I said.
What do you mean there's nothing under the hood?
Katie said she thought this was a car.
Yeah.
And it's built using wind, like from a windmill?
Or a fan, or a turbine, or a fan vine.
Wow. I mean, what is I3 anyway?
Allison? Can you explain what I3 is?
So that was obviously former Today Show anchors Katie Couric and Bryant Gumbel being self-deprecating from that 1994 clip in which they first experienced the internet. It's interesting. I'm guessing they have a pretty hefty paycheck coming with it. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that's a great commercial, and it's a really feel-good commercial. This is the time when the companies roll mm-hmm. out all the big guns, and there are some controversies now that are generated before the Super Bowl because so many of the advertisers put either teasers or their actual spots on the internet to generate some social buzz. There's a big controversy now, sort of the battle of the dogs. Mm-hmm. So you've got Budweiser doing this really tear-jerky, the Clydesdales save this little lost dog from the wolves, compared to GoDaddy, who has this commercial where this little dog Buddy falls off a truck and he finally makes his way home so that the owners can sell him to somebody else. And because of complaints, GoDaddy's pulling that spot. So
it was seen to be making fun of puppy mills.
Right. So there are lots of really interesting commercials coming out. And there's one that I'm particularly interested in because there's this beer company, not Budweiser, mm-hmm. which owns everything basically on the Super Bowl. But Newcastle Brown Ale is doing this spot. And you can find it online where they've loaded up all these product placements for about 30 or 40 different sponsors who've all put in the money so they can buy a spot to run on the NBC affiliates, not on the network, so they can get a much cheaper price and kind of make fun of the whole Super Bowl advertising phenomenon.
You know, I think that the Super Bowl advertisements have mm-hmm. become a sort of an industry unto themselves. And it really, I think what Mike said, it really gives the gives them a showcase of their product. But going back to the Katie Couric, Bryant Gumbel ad, yeah. It reaches a certain demographic, and that demographic watches the Super Bowl. It's going to be interesting to see where they place that. I'm pretty sure it's going to be somewhere in the first half because that demographic may tune out by the second half.